Hi, I'm Patty Stafford of Country Dreaming.
Hi, I'm Sheena of Abakashi NYC.
Hi, I'm Sydney from Hooked Handmade Goods.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Etsy Success Podcast. I'm Tess. And last September, we published The Ultimate Guide to Etsy Search. And in October, we released a podcast episode busting some myths around search. We got some great questions from you all since then. So today, we're going to keep the conversation going and answer some of the most common ones that we received. You might remember my colleague Taylor Combs, who also works on the seller marketing team. She works closely with the Etsy search team and helped create The Ultimate Guide to Etsy Search and was a guest on the Mythbusting podcast episode. This week, she sat down with two experts on Etsy search to dive a bit deeper on everything from categories and attributes to misspellings and other variations on words. So now I'm going to hand it over to Taylor.
Hi, I'm Taylor, and I work on the seller marketing team here at Etsy. We're going to answer some of the top questions that we've heard from sellers about Etsy search since we published our ultimate guide to Etsy search last fall. But before we get started, I just wanted to say that Etsy search is always changing and every shop is different. And these are just some of our current best practices that we recommend. My first guest today is Sam Litt. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Taylor. Hi, I'm Sam. I work with the team that builds our search experience. So my team and I work to optimize Etsy's search and make it easier for shoppers to discover items on Etsy.
Our first question is about tags and titles and how they work together. What can you tell us about that?
So the most descriptive and relevant keywords for your listings should definitely appear in both your titles and your tags. But given that you have 13 spaces for tags for each listing, all of the keywords that you use as tags don't necessarily need to appear in your title too. Also, if you think about it, a long title stuffed with a bunch of keywords also might make it difficult for shoppers to quickly find the items that you're selling when they're scanning search results. So instead, for your title, think about prioritizing the most descriptive phrases and keywords that best describe your product, or also the ones that have been most successful in matching shoppers with your listings in the past. So for example, in our shop stats tool or our search analytics, you can see exact phrases that shoppers have used to find your listings and make sure that those superstar keywords are included in both your titles and your tags.
Another question we hear is about adding the keywords that appear in your categories and attributes to your tags. How should sellers think about using those keywords in their categories and attributes?
So search uses your titles, tags, categories, and attributes when trying to match you to buyers. So when a buyer enters a query, we're looking for all the keywords that you've added across those four dimensions. Adding exact same phrases that appear in your categories and attributes is actually a missed opportunity to maybe add an additional tag that's unique to the item you're selling. So for example, adding the attribute color gold will help your listing match with searches that contain the keyword gold. So adding the tag gold is somewhat redundant.
Exactly. And those keywords that appear in the categories and attributes, they can still be helpful in a really descriptive phrasal tag like gold diamond ring. Because when shoppers are searching for something specific, they're more likely to use like a compound descriptive phrase like that. So you're sort of covering all your bases.
Absolutely.
The next question we heard from sellers is, how does Etsy search handle misspellings and singular and plural searches and keywords?
So let's focus on plurals first. So when we think about plurals or other variations of words, Etsy search, but also many other search algorithms, use a process that we call stemming. And stemming basically converts a word into its root word. At Etsy, we use stemming on both a shopper's search query as well as the keywords in your listings. So for example, a search for diaries, which is the plural, would still be matched with listings that use the keyword diary, which is the singular, because they have the same root word. This is true for less complex plurals as well. So for example, a search for hat would still be matched with listings tagged for hats. You don't need to add plurals as separate tags because Etsy search is looking at the root words that appear in the shopper's query and your listings keywords.
Now let's get into misspellings. How does Etsy search handle those?
So on Etsy, if a shopper is searching for something and they misspell a word or make a typo, Etsy search actually just makes an educated guess and corrects the search to the correct spelling. So for example, if someone accidentally searched for party flavors, we still show them results that match the query party favors with the option to look at results for their original query, which was party flavors. Because Etsy search corrects spelling for shoppers in the moment, you should do your best to spell things correctly in your titles and tags. There's really no advantage to purposely spelling things incorrectly.
This next question is about listing quality score, which we talked about in the Ultimate Guide to Etsy Search. So listing quality score is a score that's created for listings that's based on how well that item has converted, i.e. how many people have taken an action, such as favoriting or purchasing the item, after seeing it in their search results. We've got some questions from sellers who make one-of-a-kind items or are selling vintage items on Etsy about what this means for shops like them. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So when we're determining a quality score, we look at things like past shopper behavior to predict how likely shoppers are to purchase listings from your shop in the future. So if you're a seller who sells one-of-a-kind items or vintage items, when you're frequently creating new listings, Etsy Search looks at how popular listings from both your shops and also similar shops have been in the past to predict how popular they might be with buyers in the future. Similarly, don't worry if your shop's new to Etsy. New shops on Etsy get a neutral listing score until we've had time to learn more about how those listings perform.
Thanks so much for joining me today and answering these questions. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
My next guest is Jenny Benevento. She's a taxonomist at Etsy, and she works remotely from her home in Chicago. Jenny's on the phone now. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Taylor.
Jenny, what is a taxonomist, and what exactly do you do at Etsy?
So taxonomists make items findable for buyers on Etsy, and we collect standardized information from sellers in the form of categories and attributes right now, which we use to help buyers find the items they're looking for. So to do this, we create those categories and attributes that sellers can add to their item, and then we create categories that buyers can use when browsing on Etsy. And my team also creates the top navigation that shoppers use to browse on Etsy, and the category-specific filters shoppers use to narrow down their search. We also use the data you enter in categories and attributes to make your products more discoverable on Etsy search and in external search engines and websites like Facebook and Instagram.
How do you all go about deciding which categories we need to have on Etsy?
We look at so many things. So first, we look at what kind of products are just being sold on Etsy and what words sellers are using to describe them. We also look at what buyers are searching for and how they're wording it. And we look for differences in how sellers might describe an item and how buyers are searching for it. Often, we feel like we're translating between the language of an expert artisan who's been in the field for a long time and someone who has never heard of the craft that made the item they're looking for. So we do research with Etsy buyers and sellers and watch them search for an item or create a new listing. And finally, we do a lot of research on the type of product itself, how it's made, how people use it, what are the make or break qualities when buying it, and how it's categorized on other e-commerce sites. We also do crafts ourselves, so if one of us has a specialty, we'll have them work on that section, or we'll talk to crafters who make that kind of a thing. We also look at feedback from sellers on Etsy through our taxonomy feedback form, and we'll link to that in the description of this episode.
How do we use categories on Etsy, and why are they so important?
Etsy categories pretty much answer the question, what is this thing? Not what is this thing made of, how is this made, what should I use it for? So you can think of categories kind of as the nouns that describe what an item is. It's a hat, it's a bowl, it's a necklace. Categories help us show the right listings to shoppers who are looking for something specific. They help us match your listing with shoppers motivated to buy that item. While some shoppers come to Etsy and search for what they're looking for, some browse by looking at the categories available on Etsy, and most do a little of both. So when you're adding categories to your listings, make sure you're describing the item accurately and as specifically as possible. So this is really important because showing shoppers the relevant listings for them, and by that I mean only mugs in the mug category, for example, they make shoppers trust the results they're seeing, so they're more likely to stay on the site and keep buying things. Similarly, it's important to be as specific as possible about what your item is instead of just using that top-level category. We count on the information you add to make your item appear in all of the places shoppers would expect to see that type of item. So, for example, if you add your listing to the engagement rings category in weddings, we're also going to show your listing in engagement rings in jewelry and in searches for engagement rings. And that's just a start. We'll show it to as many people as possible who are shopping for that kind of item. Giving us the right category and attributes is just the best way to connect your item to buyers who are looking exactly for that thing.
That was a great explanation of categories. Now let's move on to attributes. What are attributes and how do they work?
So if we think of categories as the noun a thing is, a dress, attributes are usually the adjective, a blue, sleeveless, size 20 dress. So sellers can add attributes on the specific categories for items that they are listing. My team asks the questions we know would be most important for buyers searching for that item on that category. So for example, in dresses, we know that buyers care about dress size. So that's the first thing we're going to specifically ask you on dresses.
And how do you all decide what attributes are needed for each category?
So we use a lot of the same techniques that we use for categories, especially looking at what buyers and sellers are already doing on the site. We look at what buyers are searching for to see what kind of modifiers they're using, like a material or length or other adjective. Like if they're looking for a gold 18-inch necklace, we know those things are important. We also ask, is this the kind of information usually included or needed to order this type of product? So for example, how long is this fabric? Does this shirt have a button or zip closure? One goal of all of this is to think about the questions sellers might get convos about, which we know takes up a ton of their time. So by collecting this information from sellers in this standardized way, we can show it to buyers on a listing in a standard way.
Great. And what are some other ways that we use the attributes that sellers enter?
The more you add attributes to your listings, the more new filters we can show shoppers on Etsy to make it easier to find what they're looking for. For example, if you fill out the dress size attribute, eventually we use that data for a dress size filter on Etsy for buyers to use. Attributes are also used by search to help buyers find the item they're looking for.
We've talked a little bit about how sellers should be using categories and attributes. Is there anything that sellers should avoid?
Categorizing your items inaccurately or adding attributes to your listings that don't actually describe your products can result in a really bad experience for buyers. But more importantly, maybe, your item won't be seen by buyers who most want it. In that mug example I gave earlier, if you don't put your items in mugs, shoppers won't see them there. And if you put a non-mug in mugs, shoppers might see results that are irrelevant to the category or search they're looking in. That can leave them feeling really frustrated by their experience on Etsy and less likely to buy your stuff. Inaccurate categories and attributes also make it harder for us to use the data to build tools for buyers to discover your products. We start with your good seller data to make a good experience for buyers. Right now, 26% of the categories on Etsy have at least one search filter that is powered by attributes. The more accurate attributes sellers add, the more category-specific filters we can show to buyers about the things that they think are most important. But we need your help to make those experiences great.
Thanks so much, Jenny. I really appreciate this deep dive into categories and attributes, and thanks for joining me today.
Thanks.
As many of you may know, we like to close out each episode of the Etsy Success Podcast with Shop Talk. We post a question in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, and you send us your answers by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. We loved hearing your stories when we asked you about what you listen to while you work. Here's what you sent in.
Hi, my name is Amanda from Live Laugh Scrap AW. And while I work, I like to watch TV shows on Netflix and Hulu. I have a 1.5-year-old, so I don't have much time to watch TV. So nap time is my time where I get to work on my business and catch up on my TV shows.
Hi, this is Wendy from Wendy Schrey Designs. Listening to media is my favorite thing to do while working on my Etsy shop. It keeps my mind active and helps me feel connected to the outside world. I usually start my day by listening to Morning Edition on NPR. I listen to books through my Audible account and music through Amazon Prime, Spotify, and Pandora. At the end of the day, when the PBS NewsHour comes on, that's my signal to finish my orders and wind down for the evening.
My name is Jackie from Shop 222 Lane, and when I'm in my creative space, I have to listen to the queen of creativity, the queen of success, the queen of it all, Beyonce.
That is it for today. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing makes your life easier because that way new episodes are automatically downloaded for you. And if you haven't already, check out our episode from October about Etsy search. And we've also linked to the ultimate guide to Etsy search in the description for this episode. And if you do have a moment, we would love it if you could rate us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us get the word out about the show to other sellers like you. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.